that.
Peaches is too important. That's the main problem with him being like, no kidding, like JTAC number one in the Air Force, Chief Peaches, because he actually has to work. So he sends his henchmen to do his dirty work.
Oh, yeah, first of all, every time he says senior leadership, I want to throw up all over the place.
For him. Yeah, sometimes it's cool. Like, sometimes you go to Hawaii, but sometimes it's a staff gig and you're sitting there in a meeting that should have been an email, and that email should have been like immediately deleted. But you know how it goes.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome back to the Ones Ready podcast. Cones and Quitters is the official unofficial U.S. Air Force podcast. And yeah, the official podcast for all things that you give a crap about. Well, we're not allowed to cuss in the beginning, right? Algorithms and all that other stuff.
This is the best intro of all time. Trent, you're doing a great job. Connor Matthews, what's up, dude? How are you doing, man?
I'm doing phenomenal, man. Doing great. It's been, you know, nice to talk to you guys. It's been a little while since I've been back on the podcast, and I made some moves, you know, accomplished some goals. So thanks for having me back here.
Yeah, can you walk us through that? Because for people that aren't tracking, so like, first of all, I'm going to try not to fanboy out here at all, but like, watching someone's journey that doesn't go like, you know, storybook right away, and
UFC
seeing them overcome,
fighter, baby, I don't care. We got a UFC fighter
super,
on the
super super inspiring
go,
to
dude.
Me. Yeah, I get all amped up about it. So Connor, since we talked last time, you know, what's new?
So yeah, finally got my UFC contract, man. I've been grinding. It's actually taken me a little longer than I expected, to be honest. But you know, we got here finally. So you know, I got out in 2019 from the 2-2, the 22nd as a combat controller, and I've been, you know, grinding ever since to try to make my way up to the UFC. We've obviously had a lot of setbacks. Throw a pandemic in there. A lot of fights that, you know, were like, I got canceled on me. I had my first contender series fight. I made it to the contender series. Didn't go my way. I lost. I call it a washback. You know, had a fight to earn myself back on the contender series again. I didn't just get right back on there. I had a fight for Dana White's looking for a fight in Boston. Got a good win, and then went back on the contender series for the second time. And I fought a 6'2", I think he was taller, Brazilian warlord. He's 10-0, all finishes. I was terrifying. And, you know, went in there.
Terrifying.
I was like, they're freaking to lose. They're like, this guy had chosen always across his chest. I'm like, holy shit. It was literally hysterical. I was like at weigh-ins, and I'm going up. First of all, they told me this guy's 5'11". I'm like, all right, 5'11 is not that big. So I'm like training with like my guys around me, like 5'11 taller training partners. And then I see the guy, we're actually at the PI, the Performance Institute, like the week of fight. And I see him walking around, and I'm like, that motherfucker looks like a goddamn basketball player over there. Like, that does not look like, that guy's in my weight class? What? It got you. So, anyways, I just took him down, chopped that tree down, and you know, I got the win. It was a good fight, and here we are, getting ready. I'm 6 weeks out for my first UFC fight, and you know, like, everything's really changed, to be honest, man. It's just like life's changed, man. You know what I mean? It's been awesome. I mean, I couldn't be happier, but also got a lot of work to do at the same time.
Dude, how are you maintaining that focus through it all? Because I know, like, I feel horrible every time I, like, shoot you a message. Because I'm like, this dude is super busy.
Every
People
time.
Are, like, coming out of the woodwork. Like, you're a UFC fighter now. Like, how do you, A, manage your time, and B, maintain your focus on the things that are really going to bring you success coming up?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I'm really busy from, you know, the morning I wake up until I go to bed, from like 7 to 7 every day. At least I got right now 7 to 8, you know what I mean? I got shit going on every single day. And it's, but it's all things that I love to do. It's all things that I'm passionate about. For my job working for T3i, you know what I mean? I still get to stay connected to the community and be a part of my job, of the job that I grew up, that kind of made me who I am, and give back to that. I, you know, that's huge to me. So I don't mind doing it. You know what I mean? I don't mind doing the paperwork for it. I don't mind doing the, you know, driving across this, you know, New England to go do these things. It's just something that I've always been into, and I just want to be a part of that. Fighting is the same thing, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I drive, my gym that I train at 5 days a week is an hour and 45 minutes away from my house. And I drive there and back, you know, 5 days a week. I spend over, you know, 17, 18 hours, in a car every week just driving. So like, but it's all sacrifices that I'm willing to do because I'm doing what I love. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm doing it and like going to a job that I hate and, you know, or doing something I hate. I just, you know, you got to make sacrifices for things that you enjoy, you know what I mean? Things that you love. And you know, it's definitely worth it for sure.
100%. I'm going to call you out on something here, though. You said you liked even doing the admin. You don't like doing the paperwork, dog.
No,
don't you lie to me.
It's okay. I know. I said I hate it, but I do it. It's worth it. I don't like driving. Okay. I'll do it. I'll make sacrifices that are necessary.
I got it.
I hate dieting.
Yeah, totally. I don't like driving.
I die for fights too. You know what I mean? How'd you guys freeze on me? I'm reconnecting. All right, we good?
I think we got it back.
All right, we're trying to see.
It's going to come out in the wash, so we don't know what you said, so it'll be fun to hear it when we edit this out, because we'll see what it is.
But all right, sounds good.
It's all good, dude. How are you feeling on this camp? Now, I was wondering how long it was going to take us to equate your journey through going through the pipeline, but you did it already. You said you took a wash back, and then you had to get back into the contender series, and you were successful there. Now, by the way, man, I want to give you kudos. You're not just fighting at a UFC event, man. You're the main fight on the prelim card. Like you're the fight. You were who people are going to see at this prelim card. And you've come a long way, and you had to get through that setback and whatever. I know for me, second time through the pipeline felt completely different. How does this training camp feel as opposed to the last few?
So I was set back to the contender series, like that washback for the contender series. For me, that was like, you know, that was where I got my strength into getting back into it. Like, you know, work. It's like I had it happen to me in the military at air traffic control school and at dive school. Especially dive school was a rough one because you have to go through 5 weeks of pre-scuba. And then you get down to dive school, you know, you have to pass the first couple of weeks. You get to one man's, which is like the last test. And that's the test that, like, if you make through one man's, you're basically, you know, you're cruising for the rest of your pipeline. You just got to finish AST. You got to get to go to Halo. You get all the fun stuff is after that one man's test is like that last real hard test. And I washed back in that. So I related my contender series fight to that, you know what I mean, where I had to go through, you know, back through the freaking, you know, the hard way up the mountain again, you know what I mean, just grind it out. And I just had to stay motivated, and if I didn't have my special operations background to really relate that to, I don't know if I would be able to do what I did. So obviously I had to make some changes up, and I made the necessary changes. I switched my team up, I switched you know, some things that I needed to do, and I just reattacked it, and I came back. And so, you know, that just gave me a lot of confidence to go on there and perform the way I did. So now that kind of, I just keep carrying it. It's just everything about martial arts is just like, it's like every single fight, win or lose, you get to carry that on to you for the next fight, and you get to get stronger and stronger and stronger as you work your way up, you know what I mean, up the mountain. And so it's been a ride, but it's been like such a rewarding ride at the same time. From all the highs and lows, like if I just got that first contract and I got into the UFC, I wouldn't be as rewarding, and I wouldn't be as good of a fighter as I am right now, prepared to fight for my first UFC fight. I changed a lot up, man, and it all made me so much better. And now that makes me to get into this fight, I'm ready to get in there. And like I say this a lot, I'm not trying to just fight in the UFC. I'm trying to be a fucking, I want that title. Like, you know what I mean? Like as I get, you know,
that strap.
You mean it's one step at a time, right? I always say this, like the pipeline, right? Is you got to make it through breakfast, you got to make it to lunch, you got to make it to lunch, you got to make it to dinner. I mean, that's the way you look at it in the micro, but the macro is like, now I'm like, fuck, I want to be the champ. You know what I mean? I feel like these everybody's all humans. You know what I mean? These guys I'm going against are all human, and I'm gonna, you know, I'm a human too. So I just know where I'm at mentally, and I'm ready for it.
So one of the big things that you added into this camp was, you actually alluded to it earlier, you got on board with T3I, you're running through development programs. Mm-hmm. How does that experience of that UFC fighter, how does that translate when you're talking to potential Aztec War candidates? What are those messages that you give them that echo for them and that ring in their head?
So, I mean, I feel like it's lead by example. You know, it's not like I'm like an old fat guy telling them to jump in the pool and swim and run.
Easy.
Or do cal-
I'm right here, dude.
Yeah, Connor. But, Jesus Christ, dude.
You know, dude, but
I'm not some old white guy that got a podcast, idiot. Stupid.
No, but it, you know, I feel like I can get in there and I can like show them what to do and lead by example. And I can, you know, when you show people and you do, you can expect more out of them. So, and I like doing like the developmental sessions with them is I get to bring them on runs and it's like, I'm training for my fights and it just like, it just feels like I'm a little bit back in the pipeline. These kids that are, you know, aspiring to be a combat controller or PJ or whatever, I get to bring them on runs, get to bring them on workouts, go through the exercises with them. And it just reminds me of like, you know, being back in the pipeline and being a cadre, you know what I mean? So it's really fun for me. I'm enjoying it. I've been bringing these guys out to this sand hill and running sprints up the hills with punching bags. And I get in there with them and I just get it done. And it's been a blast, man.
So you're 6 weeks out in this camp. Do you try to instill some of those other pipeline antics into your training camps to keep that feel of home or whatever it is? Like, do you incorporate? I just imagine you in your training montage for this fight, and you're just in the creek in San Antonio, just getting absolutely trashed. There's some rockin' 80s band in the background. Like, what do you give any of that into the training camp that you run before any of your fights?
Yeah, it's for me, it's all the mentality. Like I try to seek discomfort. That's what I seek. I seek discomfort. I'm looking to make my every day a challenge. You know what I mean? From waking up in the morning, first thing, getting in the ice bath, and like in out of fight camp, I probably wouldn't want to do that. But in fight camp, I just make sure that I do all the things that I don't want to do, just because I just know they're just gonna grow that mental strength in me. And just like in pipeline, man, like every single day is just like you got to do all these shit that you don't want to do every single day. And that's what I do. I just carry that mentality. It's just get through breakfast, get through the morning, rest, get through afternoon, get home and just get recovered. Just do all those little things. I always say it's like no stone left unturned. I just do all the little things right when I'm in fight camp. And I got that strength from, you know, the mentality and what I learned through the pipeline is just taking everything day by day. I don't look at the end of the fight necessarily. I don't look at fight day. I look at my weeks, like how am I going to make myself better each week? And then when by the time that fight comes around, I'll be ready to go. But I've been doing with this fight camp, something I've been changing up is I've been getting more, obviously I have to for T3I is getting back in the pool. But I've been getting back into the pool and using that work for the breath work and just like the underwater. It just gives me a little bit of that mental edge. I feel like of you know, doing like underwaters, and I still got the 50s down. So I've been doing those a lot as well.
Nice.
First you call us fat old guys, and now you're like, oh, I'm still doing 50s, no big deal. Yeah, right. You know, like,
well, you have to. It's like the classic anything to protect my ego. Like, I can get beat by anybody anything, and I will go, oh yeah, but can he buddy breathe? I bet he can't though. I'm really good at buddy breathing. Whatever,
have you
dog.
Rucked lately? Yeah, how much have you ever rucked?
Oh. I haven't rucked at all. I haven't done any rucking. Not gonna lie.
Good onion.
Don't do that.
You and me both, brother.
Oh my goodness. So going through your recent history, I can't help but think that like Dana White is like the ultimate cadre daddy, right? Like,
yeah,
but like the experience, there's a lot of parallels because they said no the first time, even though like, but like they liked what they saw, but you came back. And I can't help but think of all the folks that we say no to, and sometimes they take it personally, or they think that like it's a no forever. And they just disappear and they never come back, where it's like, I know he said a bunch of good things about you and that fight was incredible. And you showed, you know, your heart and your spirit and everything in that. But it's just like, I don't think people understand what it takes to come back after something like that.
Yeah, I agree, man. And not only did he say no for that fight, he had Dana White's looking for a fight. It's a TV show on YouTube. You guys can watch it. They came back to Boston, which I was lucky for the fact that they came back to Boston after my contender series in March of last year. And I fought on that. I was the main event. I had a beautiful finish first round. And he's still, after I went in the back, and I'm thinking he's going to give me a UFC contract since, you know, I had a good showing. Now I got the win in front of him. And then he's just like, yep, now we're going to give you an opportunity to come back in the contender series again. And I was like, oh, shit, dude. So I got to go out there and do this all again.
You're like,
so
here we go. Right.
It wasn't really, it was kind of like another washback, honestly. And I was just like, all right. You know what I mean? Just like, we're going to not do it. So I was just like, all right, back to the drawing board. So like, yeah, you just kind of, you gotta stay true to yourself and block out the noise of all that stuff. And just, that's under things I can't control, right? Is where he puts me. What I can't worry about that. I can only control what I can control. Is thing we had that. That's the big thing I always say, is to control the controllable. So, and I can just work on getting better and staying focused, and that's what I did. So yeah, I just didn't let, you know, washbacks suck, man. They really do. They hurt at first, especially when you first get them. But once you get back into the groove of things, you start doing what you need to do to improve. They feel so much better to overcome them.
Yeah, and I don't want to keep harping on the hard times that you've been through. But we talk about like failing fast all the time, and I'm not saying you failed. I'm just saying there was like a bump in the road. But like we talk about it all the time. Like if something goes wrong, right, in your life, your career, the pipeline, anything, like you need to like process that, and you need to move forward quickly with the lessons learned. But like, how much time do you give yourself? Because like, you know, you literally put your health on the line every single time you go out there, and yeah, like here twice in a row, like you're not quite there yet. Like, how much time do you give yourself to process, you know, what just happened and to move on?
I mean, for me, it's mentally, I feel like you can't take too much time. Physically, if you need to, for me, like you said, I'm putting my life on the line. Like sometimes after these fights, especially the Francis Marshall fight and even my last fight, it took me a couple of months to even get back to being able to train full on. You know, I was dealing with some injuries and stuff after the fight. And those are the fights you win. Even my fight I won in Boston, and I won it in like 2 minutes or something like that. I hurt myself hitting the guy, you know, I hurt my foot kicking the guy in the head. So it's like, you get hurt, you get hurt winning too. So, for me, it's always just like the physical things I gotta, you know, but it's mentally is I'm always eyes forward. You can't dwell. You appreciate the things, you know, that you accomplish, and you lick the wounds real quick of the things, you know, that you failed to reach. But you got to keep your eyes forward and just keep on moving forward. That's the key, man. Is just keep moving forward, seeing things you can improve, and just take everything with a grain of salt. If you dwell too much on anything negative or positive, you know, sometimes it'll just overcome you and eat you, and you'll start going the wrong direction. You just got to take everything with a grain of salt and just keep on moving forward.
Yeah, you can pop your head up for a second and look around, but like you just got to get back to the grind.
Exactly.
You know? Otherwise, you're gonna lose focus on what you need to do in the next 5 minutes.
Exactly.
So to change gears a little bit, I'm assuming that you grew up watching the UFC from a fairly young age, kind of like I did. You know, I was early 20s, I think, when I first started watching. So I wanted to ask, you know, for me, Chris Lytle, favorite fighter of all time, his mentality and like some of the things that he took away from like his story and inspiration. Who was the first fighter that you like felt inspired by and kind of started this whole, you know, journey?
Georges St. Pierre, GSP.
Yeah.
I loved his, first of all, he's a traditional martial artist like myself. And I just really liked his mentality of like being like, if he got into something, like say running, he would get with like an Olympic runner and train with an Olympic track team. If gymnastics, he'll train with gymnastics. So he just had this really idea of just trying to compete with the best of the best in each discipline to make yourself better. And he always seeked out the best trainers and coaches possible. And he had the recovery thing locked in. This is like back in, you know, whatever it was now, 15 years ago, I think it was. He's always been a big idol to me. I actually got really lucky. He was at my, my Dana White's looking for a fight. We're like in the after party. There's like a club. We're all like partying and stuff like that. And somebody looks like, hey, Connor, look, it's GSP. I'm like, no way. GSP's not here in Boston. I look over, I see GSP. I'm like, and he was there by like coincidence. He wasn't even there for my fight at all. And so that was really cool.
You should have lied right now, Connor. You should have lied to all the listeners and said, he DM'd me, he hit me up, and I was like, fine, GSP, fine. Yes, you can come. Yeah, go ahead. Come to the after party, dude.
No, I talked to him though, and he was like, you know, he was the man. And then actually I was at the UFCPI recently, and I was testing for by the way, I broke the record for the UFC for the VO2 max. So like best,
Let's
I basically
go.
Had the best cardio in the UFC. And
no big deal.
Yeah.
Actually, you heard it here first. You heard it here first, folks.
I got second place in VO2 max. First place of the 145 featherweight for 45 division. Second place overall. Sean Brady is the only UFC to beat me. And then there's a GPC test, a glycogenic power or something, which is like 1 minute. You're on the echo bike. It's just as hard as you can go for 1 minute. I like broke the records for that one. So it's terrible. It was awful. I did it.
No, that's the worst.
I was
like,
sick. But anyways, while I was doing it, there's like in a glass room. And like GSP was like sitting there watching me do it. So I was like, oh, fuck, dude. I was really pumped. I like going super hard. I'm like, my idol's right there. I'm fucking going to go, dude.
Oh, my God. How hard was it to pedal that Echo bike with that massive boner of yours? You know what I mean? Like,
dude, It was pretty hard. That's what got me going, dude. Trent,
shut up.
That's what got me going.
old politically correct Trent over here is afraid of a little dick joke on a podcast all of a sudden. Wow. Look, I forgot where he came from. But it's an interesting thing though that I do want to ask about is like students do it to instructors in the pipeline all the time where you meet your idols and you either take something away from it or you're disappointed. It sounds like you took something away from GSP and whatever else.
Oh, it was
how
super
do you
cool.
roll that? Yeah, how do you roll that into your development sessions? Because to these kids that are coming in, and I'll call them kids. I know we're not supposed to. I know we're supposed to say they're young candidates. Yeah. Man, they're 17 years old.
17,
kids.
18.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Dude, I was in the military for 5 years longer than you were alive. You're kidding me. I'm going to call you that. Like, I'm sorry. That was it. How do you do that? Because I'll tell you what, you were GSP to these kids. Yeah. You were a guy that has done something that to them – I couldn't be an effing UFC fighter, man. Like, and you're doing it at our age, at an advanced age, against all odds. Like, you are the superhero that they're trying to be just for being a combat controller, but you're on the side of a UFC fighter. How do you impart those things to them to say, hey, this is attainable? Like, I was just like you.
I just don't think I think of myself like that. You know what I mean? I think of myself as like
a
cone. I'm a cone for life, man. I think if I just keep that cone mentality, and it just pays out. Just try to be part of the team, try to be a good worker and work hard and, you know, help everybody out. I just keep that mentality. And I do that as an instructor too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just a big, I'm really like, that's why I believe in leading by example. Like, I never try to ask anybody if I'm not willing to do it myself or I can't do it myself. So that's something I've always done. And I just feel like, you know, that's why I try to get there and work out with these guys and show them how to work out and push them in the workouts while I'm with them. Because I feel like that's a leader. You know what I mean? I'm not just asking these guys to do then ask these guys to behave certain ways. I show them how to behave. And that's what I try to do as a developer. And, you know, and, but you know, I'm sure, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, mentality with these guys too. I think I'm supposed to be a certified coach and trainer and write programs and help them out. But I feel like all that doesn't really matter. I feel like it comes down to is your mentality is like, you have to have a never quit kind of mentality. Like I said, I had a lot of guys on my team when I was going through were the weakest guys on my team that just, you know, they end up making it all the way to 10 and being the best operators. And then I had the guys who showed up when they were these physical studs and were the best guys in the pool, best cows, best setups. And you got on team and nobody really wanted to work with them. So it's like, it's all about mentality. What really it comes down to.
So you need kids with that dog in them is what you're saying. They
yeah,
just
got
to be certified 100% canine.
You do, and I can see who is and who's not right away when I get there. You know what I mean? I get that vibe and like, and I give it, it's not that it's favoritism. It's going to give the show. I'm going to show it to the kids who show up and they're serious about, you know, they show up with what they need. They show up with a pen and paper. They show up with a bottle of water, the drink. They have all the paperwork, right? Everything's handed to me in the right way. They get everything that's, you know, when they show up ready to train. Those are the guys that I'm going to give attention to make try to help them out to pass their test and, you know, give them advice, coach them. But if you show up to me with a bag of ass, you don't even have the right shoes on and you're, you know what I mean? You don't know what's going on. You're obviously not looking too serious, looking into this job, this career field seriously. And I'm not going to be there to help you out. So I just help out the guys who I think are going to be the best candidates. And if you show up and you're serious and you're asking questions and you're engaged, those are the guys I look for.
Yeah. And your candidates, your job, and my charge to you is out there. Listen up, all you cones and quitters. Your job is to confuse Connor because you're all supposed to put out. You're supposed to make his job ridiculously hard to where he can't pick the top two candidates. Exactly. You guys are all putting out. You guys are all doing that. And it's funny the way you say it. It dovetails perfectly into an MMA camp or a soft pipeline or, you know, scout, recruit, develop, or whatever bucket you want to put it in. You develop a culture, right? You may show up and look like a bag of ass one day, but I'll tell you what, if you get your shit together, that's going to show more to me. Like, you're not wrong forever. You're not dead. Like, you're not dead. Like, come on, let's go. You decided you want to be the best candidate here when you started off the worst. Man, I'm more in your corner than you are for that transformation. That's who I want to be as an instructor, 100%. As a coach, as a cadre, whatever. But those things are inherent to all of our things, right? Like, as a soft, you want to see your teammates succeed more than you. When Trent wins every award ever for being the best, you know, former senior NCO that he ever was, you're like, oh, my bro was winning these awards. I was just happy that he was doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the man. He was out there. He was winning.
This speech today. It's just not like you just said it, though. It's not where you start. It's where you end. And that's with everything. You know what I mean? It's not that. For me, growing up on sports teams, it was always like that. Like, I always found myself starting at the bottom end of the team, and I always try to work myself to the end of being the best, you know, the guy that you needed to be to win the game. You know what I mean? This quote I've been using lately and is undeniable. You know what I mean? I kind of like trying to brand that right now. No offense, but because Dana White says, he's like, how can I deny you from being in the UFC? He's like, you showed up, you know, three times in a row. How did I deny you? You performed, you put it out there. And I got my UFC contract. So you got to be undeniable. That's what it comes down to.
The undeniable, baby. I love it. So here we are 6 weeks out. We're getting ready to go have your next fight, your first pro fight. You're 7-1 as a pro fighter. You're getting ready to mix it up with a game opponent in a big thing and a big stage. Yep. What are we looking to do different? What do you personally want to improve from 6 weeks to 1 week out? What is one tangible thing as a fighter that you want to steal up?
For me it's always getting better, always getting sharper. You know what I mean? Like if the last two fights, you know, my last two contender series fights, they went the distance. There were three round fights. So I spent, you know, half an hour in the octagon. I'm not looking to spend that much time in the octagon. I'm looking to get,
right. Yeah.
I'm looking to go out there and make a statement. Not just because I want to knock this guy out for whatever, for personal, it's because I want the world to know who we are, who I am, what I'm here. I'm not just here to fucking be another fighter and then you just survive in the UFC. You know what I mean? I'm here to, I don't like that survival instinct. I want to be a winner in the UFC. I want to be a dominant force in the UFC. Like just like this in the pipeline, right? Another mentality is just like, I tell my candidate, all the guys, candidates are coming in. It's like, you shouldn't be trying to just like pass the IFT. You should be just trying to get the numbers. You should be going there trying to beat your other guys around you. If you're trying to beat everybody in your team, you should have that score sheet at the end. If you're not the number one guy in that score sheet, you should be disappointed. It's not about survival. It's about winning. It's about dominating. And that's my mentality going into this fight game.
Hell yeah. So Dennis Bazookia, I believe is how you say his name. I even like listened that, to him say it. It's Bazookia, I believe. Yeah. I went and looked at it. Hey, he's a game opponent. Fights from right down the road in New York. You guys are set for a good tilt. I'm excited to see you change your game plan up and beat him on March 30th. That is the UFC fight night. That is Blanchfield and Fira, which is another name that is impossible to say. Another foreign name that I knew that I was going to screw up here on the podcast, and I'm happy to do so now.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to go follow you there. Man, I want to cage you down, and I want to talk about what do you get out of being a T3i developer and doing the programs that you do, because I have a feeling, and listening to this entire podcast, I hear a bunch of through lines, but the number one thing that I hear is what's different about this camp is you've connected back to your roots in such a way that you feel, man, you feel grounded. Even I think Trent and I have talked to you like three times before fights. Yeah. I'm not going to say we're your lucky charm, but we are 3-0 anyway.
let's go.
But like, man, you feel grounded. You feel businesslike. You feel like you're in, like you're running mom's basement. You are making things happen. You don't have any time because you're running everything from your own camp and engaging with your team and all these other things you're doing. Man, walk me through how you were handling all these things and what's different this time.
You know, it's just kind of like I'm taking a role of you know, what I've been set to be this entire time is kind of what I've imagined myself where I want to be. And it's kind of coming for fruition. You know what I mean? Like I'm more of a, like, you know, before I used to be a combat controller and now I just fought MMA. Now I feel like I'm still a combat controller. I'm still connected to the community. I'm still helping develop. I'm still, you know, the tip of the spear. And just connected to everybody, really, what it comes down to. I'm developing guys, so I have to go out there. It just gives me more dog in the fight. Makes me more passionate about, you know, about what I'm doing, because I stand for something more. You know what I mean? I can get everybody behind me now for what I'm doing. The Air Force is getting behind me. They're literally coming to my developmental session next month. So I have the UFC coming. I have the Air Force coming. I got Black Rifle Coffee hooking me up. I'm walking. JT is making me a custom walkout song. I'm walking out with Matt Best and JT.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Was it Saturday, man?
Yeah. So he's making me a badass like Viking song, and it's just like you know, it's what I imagined. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of had this idea what you were gonna be and what I wanted to be, but it's more so already. So I'm just, you know, it's just. You know, everything's coming to all this hard work I've been doing in the dark for the last 4 years. You know, when nobody's watching and nobody saw, like, I'm making it happen. So it's you know, it's just so rewarding, really, what it comes down to. But it makes me work harder every single day. Like, I never taken the easy route anymore. You know what I mean? It's like I'm here to do something. I'm doing it for real. Because there's so much support and everybody's supporting me behind me, which makes me want to be even better. Makes me even want to work harder. So you know, I think it's, I'm just thankful, and I'm ready to get in there and fucking show everybody who a combat controller is and what the Air Force has to offer is the best operators in the military, hands down.
Oh, absolutely, and I think it's that I was thinking the other day. Now that I'm retired, I think it's that team environment, right? And I was thinking, what is it that I truly miss about being on team? And the memories that come back are the times when you're like bombing down the road in the back of a truck and someone asks you to do something like pretty asinine, you know, during like a train up. They're like, hey, I know we're all under NVGs and we're bouncing all over the place. Can you, not medic guy, throw an IV in this person? Also, we got to get them on a litter into the HLZ within like 3 minutes over 2 miles of rough terrain, you know, on a whatever. But like, in that environment, surrounded by your boys, like, nothing is impossible, right? Like, you train, and like the amount of times that you do something that you're not specifically trained for, and the flexibility and just that feeling that no matter what comes your way, like, to you and your team, you 100% can accomplish it. I think that's the mentality that is kind of coming back, that you're grasping again. And I think really the nothing is impossible mentality, especially when you have the right people around you.
I totally agree. I couldn't agree with you more, man. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, it's one thing I kind of brought to this fighting is that as a combat controller, we have to be kind of the people to mesh and blend in with anybody, right? You got to get into a team and prove that you deserve to be on that team by actually doing the skills, right? You got to be the best shooters. You got to be physically fit. You have to know your gear. You have to know how to do the mission planning. You have to do all these different things that, you know, that, because if you get on an SF team, they know if you're not up to par, they don't want you on the fucking team. So we always had like this little man syndrome. But I think that skill set helped me out with, on the outside of meshing with new fight teams, meshing with coaches, I have the ability to go around and get the right people around me to accomplish my goal. It's like I'm building my own SF team, right? Because, you know, a team is not just everybody does the exact same thing. A team is, you know, or a combat control team is like, you know, we have PJs, their skill sets. We have reconnaissance guys, they have their skill sets. Everybody has a different skill set, but you need to bring everybody in to accomplish a goal. And I feel like that's one skill that I have is being able to find the right people around me, bring in their skill sets so we can all work together to accomplish the overall goal of knocking this kid out on March 30th.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go.
Well, in a fairly like unemotional way, right? Too, like,
yes,
you, You talk about going through the pipeline and like the competition mentality. Like it's not competition against anybody else, right? And I think there's a misconception out there about people that people have, like about us and probably about fighters as well. Because it'd be easier to look at UFC fighters and be like, they probably think they're better than me because they've been through all this stuff. It's like, no, they're just doing their job and they want to be the best that they can possibly be. And so I think being able to put that ego aside, on top of that ability to just like start from the bottom over and over again, or be forced to prove yourself over and over again, which is a unique thing to Air Force Special Warfare, is to walk onto an ODA, you got to prove yourself. Next rotation, it's a new ODA, right? Or a SEAL team or whatever. You got to do it all over again, where for you, you're comfortable in that very uncomfortable situation to just keep moving forward, take your ego out of it, and just try to make everything better.
100%. And this is why I always say, like, it's that cone mentality. It's just always going down and forgetting the things that you have accomplished in the past, putting yourself back into, you know, the cone mentality when you're starting in the beginning, and work your heart and earn your respect every single day. That's when you get real respect from others, is by earning it. You're not just, I don't care if you become a combat, you get your beret, you're not the man anymore. You still have to go out there every single day and earn your respect. And I do that as a fighter. Every single fight, I got to go out there and earn my respect.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. I want to make one more connection between fighting and Air Force Special Warfare. I'm sorry, Aaron, but we get a ton of questions.
Why are you apologizing to me of all people? Like,
I'm just kidding.
This is all I talk about.
If you're not watching YouTube, just imagine Aaron's looking really bored and rolling his eyes all the time. Every time I start talking, he's like,
jiu-jitsu again. Oh, no. This dude. Oh, Aaron, what's your favorite warm-up to miss because you're a purple belt? Oh, I can't. I'm going to step out on this one, everybody. I don't want to tell you my favorite inverted submission that I saw on YouTube.
Guard game is on point.
Get my guard, bro.
Heel hooker over here.
Yeah.
The heel hooks over there.
Just, do you mean inside Senkaku?
Oh my gosh, dude. But we get a lot of questions, right? We're inundated by people who are like, hey, I'm this type of person that is not what you would think of Hollywood-wise of like what a special operations guy is. And I see the same thing in fighting, that the diversity in fighters. You know, you have like your George St. Pierre's, you have your Chuck Liddell's, you know, you have all these different people. You have your Francis Ngannou's.
Then you got your Mikey Musumeci's, you know, the Meow brothers. Like those guys are 5'3" nothings.
Yeah, you take Volkanovski. He never should have been as good as he ever was. Like he was like this like small little like ginormous rugby player that turned into like one of the greatest of all time, right? But like like you were talking about earlier though, like when you join the gym or if you join the pipeline, like we don't really care about what you look like, where you came from, or any of those other things. We want to see what you bring to the fight.
Yes, 100%. And like, and we talk about like personality types. I'm always scared from the nerdy guys. They're the scariest ones, man. I say like the guys that are socially awkward, not the scary tough guy who walks in and looks jacked and you know like macho, like the Sean Stricklands. I'm not scared of that guy. I'm talking, like you said, the Mikey Musumeci, whatever his name is, or those nerdy guys. Yeah. These guys are the biggest killers. And that's what it comes down to on a fight team. Is just like, I say this. I think I might have talked about this last time I was on the podcast with you guys. It's like I find that MMA fight teams are like the most team oriented kind of teams out there, because like I have to sacrifice sometimes for my teammates to win their fights, right? So like I don't get anything out of this. Like I gotta give him work to get him ramped up again. So basically I'm gonna be the nail, you know, because he's got to be the hammer to learn how to get him ready for his fight. And then vice versa, sometimes I got to be the hammer, he's got to be the nail. So it's like your teammates are giving up a lot, you know, CTE and you know damage to help you out.
He said it out loud, right? So, yeah, so, that's the quiet part, Connor. Don't say the quiet part out loud, dude.
So yeah, you have to go out there and like you know give up a lot to help out your teammates win a fight. And there's no recognition. There's really nothing else besides just to help that guy accomplish his goal. And you don't get anything. Nobody's ever gonna know what you did to help that teammate. So I feel like it really builds like really cool, interesting team bonds that I haven't seen in other sports really. So that's something that's really fun, pretty interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail, but they're both used for building, my friend. And we got to make it happen.
Absolutely.
So as we get close to the end here, Connor, man, I want to make sure that everybody can support you. I've got my rash guard. I was actually going to bring it into this room. I was one of the first person that ordered the controller rash guard. I've got one. Go get one yourself. I'll post a picture. I'll get out of this room and go post one out of here because I forgot to do it when I got one. But I've got a couple of rolls on it. It's great. I got submitted. It was perfect. It was a white belt that did it. Yeah, exactly. Nice. So indicative of my skill, not the rash guard. But I will make sure to get some pics.
Please don't wear that again next time you go to the gym. Right?
Right. Yeah. Wear a different one. Wear one of your own rash guards, you idiot. Yeah,
wear the Dennis Bazooka one.
Right, yeah. Don't, yeah.
Rash guards on his websites. Go over there and go into those.
People will pay you to not wear their gear at the gym.
Oh, man. That's a perfect. Actually, you know what? For me, that's going to be the only thing that I ever win at. Be like, hey, we're going to pay you so that Aaron never mentions you ever again or associates you and him. And people are going to pay top dollar. I finally found my niche.
Oh, man,
Connor, where can we find you? Where can we support, man? I know that you need a lot of support with this. So hit us up. Where can we find you?
Just up today, actually, is my website. I mean, I've had a website for a while, but we got the shop up today. And you can go on there. I got hoodies. I got some sweatshirts. The website is controllermma.com without the V, just controllermma.com. If you guys go on there, grab some swag. I'm revamping. It says I'm 5-0. I'm 7-1 now, so don't listen to the biography in there. But we're working on that, getting that one step at a time. So yeah, if you guys go there, you guys can always find me on the controller. The controller MMA is my Instagram, and that's basically all I got. I don't do Twitter or X or whatever it is. And
for all you people that live,
right.
Yeah, they have t-shirts and hats and as well for us people down south, not just hoodies and sweatshirts.
Yes, so, they do.
He's in the thick of it right now. He's got snow that's like winter, black bro. Because it's been there for 3 months. But yeah, like he's fighting an East Coast winter fight that you got no idea about there.
No, Trenton. They suck, man.
Well, I just want to let people know.
It keeps you in the gym, man. There's no reason. There's no distractions right now. I don't have to go to the beach. There's nothing to do. You just literally freeze your ass off. And stay in the gym. You know what I mean? That's about
it. You're right. I'm going to stay in mom's basement. So go find everything that Connor's doing, everything that the team's going. Go follow War Baby MMA. Go follow Mom's Basement. Go follow everything that Connor's doing. 7-1 on his way to his next victory, March 30th on a UFC fight night. So go check that one out. That's on ESPN streaming and then basically everywhere that you can find it, whatever streaming service you want to use because it's UFC fight night. Connor, we love you, dude. Thanks so much for coming
on.
Love
you guys.
We will talk to you after your next victory. Yeah, yeah, man, and we will, man, we're always going to be literally and figuratively in your corner. So, man, thanks for all that you do. We appreciate you. Everybody else, thanks for following. See you next time.
Appreciate you guys. Bye.